Welcome to another C3 Church Rockingham podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au.
Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? I want to introduce the series that Carolyn launched last week with Pastor Rob also in the evening. Carolyn spoke in the morning, Rob in the evening. Carolyn launched into our series because we're focusing on the harvest side of things, reminding us of the three harvests: family, friends, and finances. I want to focus on the financial side. And so to do that, I want to just talk to you firstly from the foundation the Lord gave to us. In fact, I think it was our black singer who's white this morning, Rachel, that prayed this prayer somewhere in one of our prayer meetings recently, that God began to give me a focus on it again. Psalm 112 verse 1 says this: praise the Lord. It's actually a scriptural thing to do. Praise the Lord, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. One thing I know about the culture of C3 is that we fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Is that right? Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. You probably shouldn't gloss over the realities here that declare that if you fear God and love obeying His commandments, the byproduct of that is that you'll be successful. And not just you, but your children also will be successful. Goes on to say that godly people are blessed. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? Come on, shout loud at me, because it makes sense that godly people will be blessed. But then it also says they themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Our theme this month is prison or paradise, and what we want to focus on is the fact that financial success is not a matter of chance, but a matter of choice. In fact, most things in life are more about choices than chances. Too often, we have a lotto mentality. Too often, we have a mentality that has been as a result of where we come from instead of what we're designed to be. And the reality is life is more about choices than it is about chance. The clothes that you're wearing today were a choice you made. Most of you made pretty good choices. Some of you think that you didn't have a choice because they were simply the only clothes that were clean this morning, but actually that was a choice. You could have washed and cleaned them and dried them overnight if you wanted to wear those particular ones. Incidentally, because of the 20-80 principle, you wear 20% of your clothes 80% of the time because you like those ones. You say, oh, that's my favourite shirt, but I wore that last week. Well, you're probably going to wear it again next week also. You might have to mix it up just a little. So Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 is where I want to get started to lay a foundation on this prison or paradise. Are you doing okay? I'm going to read to you from the Amplified version of the Bible. In the classic version, it says, "For if because of one man's trespass, that is the first Adam in the garden, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, that's us, and the free gift of righteousness that puts them in right standing with God Himself, shall reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." The word reign here, if you go to the authorized version of the Bible, it says you'll reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. The word reign there literally means to exercise kingly power. I've titled my message today, Three Levels of Influence, but that's about relevance. That's about bringing a modern vernacular. Are there any hardcore Christians here this morning? Are there any fair dinkum Christians that want to go all the way in Scripture? If you join the dots and read Scripture correctly, this is what you'll discover, is that there is a divine thread. Starts back in Genesis when God originally created mankind. He created you to subdue the earth. If you look at the word subdue, it's to bring into dominion, to bring under control, to rule. You were designed by God to rule, to be a king. It doesn't say you'll be kings and queens. Thank God for that. Even if you're a lady today, there's a kingly anointing for you. There's this influence that God wants to bring you where you can rule and reign in life. Now, I'm going to deal with an elephant in the room. Before I get there, though, you need to know that the key ingredient of this kingly anointing or this reigning anointing that God wants to give you that can grow in levels and degrees, the key ingredient is wisdom. The Bible says that in all our getting, we should get understanding, which is wisdom. The principal thing the scripture says is wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. I'm trusting God that over the next few weeks, wisdom is going to flow off this platform into your lives, and you're going to grab a hold of an anointing from God to do what you need to do in the marketplace, to do what you need to do in ministry, so that your influence can go to a new level. Genesis reveals that in the Garden of Eden, there was one river that broke into four streams. You got to know this. You were designed to live in paradise. My girls understand that they were designed to live in paradise. I mean, how many shoes, how many bags, how many jackets does one person really need? Lots, apparently. But you know, I think sometimes our fallen nature causes us to think that we're not supposed to live in paradise. We're supposed to live on Struggle Street, just down the corner from Grumble Alley, in a suburb called Not Enough. But that's not where we're called to live. Egypt, if you look at the process of salvation, Egypt, wilderness, promised land, Egypt is the place of not enough. I don't know if you realize this, but even people in the world with money still say they don't have enough. When you come out of Egypt, you get into this place which is called a transition in Christ, the wilderness, which is a place of just enough. Each day you've got to go out and get just enough to eat and take just enough home. But God doesn't want you to live in the wilderness. It's a transition moment in Christ. He wants you to go into the promised land where there's more than enough, a land flowing with milk and honey. The only problem, one of the reasons why people don't go into the promised land is because there's giants in the land. There's mountains in the land. It's not easy going there. One river broke into four streams. The first river was called Pison. That meant increase. The moment you come in contact with the supply of God, He'll shift your world from decrease to increase. But that's not the full expression of the manifestation of the blessing of God upon your life. The next river, Gihon, is a place called bursting forth. If you'll stay in a place of good stewardship with the increase that God will bring to your life, He'll bring you to the place of bursting forth, and your increase will go from just increase to bursting. And if you take control of that, steward it correctly, you'll go to the next stream called Hiddekel or Tigris, which is rapid. And here's what you need to understand is that the longer you stay the journey of working towards the prosperity of God and the supply of God, it increases. God wants to move you from bursting forth to rapid. I'm telling you that some of you will experience the rapid increase of God. If you'll manage well the level you're on now, you'll go to a brand new level of rapid, but it's not the end of the journey that God intends for you. The last stream is called the Euphrates, which literally means fruitful. And here is the deal. God does not prosper you just to prosper you. God prospers you so that you can bring prosperity to other people's lives. You're not truly prosperous as an entrepreneur in God until you are making other people prosperous. Okay, filter removed, and I was hoping that you can just realize the context that you're in. You're in Australia. You're in a city south of Perth called Rockingham, the largest city outside of Perth. We're a blue-collar environment. Can I deal with the elephant in the room? Not everyone is ever going to tap into the full supply of God. Let me give you this understanding. For you to experience God's paradise, you'll never do that. You'll never experience God's paradise on one income stream. If you want to experience all of God's supply for you, you've got to have multiple income streams. But here's the reality. Not everyone's going to grab a hold of that. Not everybody's going to be prepared to confront the things they need to confront. Because we'd prefer to think that prosperity is a matter of chance, not choice. That's why so many of you buy lotto tickets and bet on the horses. Oh, did I mention that? And so as we get started today, I do want to allow the scriptures to speak to us in regards to God's supply. Not everyone here today wants to be taught principles of success because basically principles take work and effort and sweat. Not everyone wants to pay the price, make the changes, or face the facts. But every one of us is called to live at the first stage or stream of increase. And so if you're going to live at the first level, if you're just going to do the basics of what God's called you to do, you're going to learn to save. Everybody say save. If you cannot save, the seed of success is not in you. It is an Egypt mentality to consume all that I get on myself. It's a slave mentality. We at least as kingdom of God people, as disciples, we at least need to get to level one, where we get to that increased place where we become good stewards and we know how to save our money. You know what? We've got so bad about it in our modern society that we've now got our boss saving money for us. It's called superannuation. It's like we've made someone else responsible for our financial success. So many people complain about the superannuation system, but for goodness sake, you've got someone else that's made a decision for you, and your boss who's paying the price, not you, to try and help you retire with something more than what you're going to get now, which is... For those listening by podcasts, get the video. I don't think there is one available. The first level is invest, and I think that's bottom line. So can I just release you? If you say, well, I don't want to really be a wealth creation person, I don't want to go to the fourth level of paradise, I just want enough for me more, maybe myself and us four and no more. That's okay, but let's be a good steward and begin to save, because if you cannot save, the seed of success is not in you. The second level is to invest. The only way to get your money to work for you is to invest. You've got to get beyond this slave mentality of I've got to go to work for money. You've got to get to the place where you can at least be thinking, I'm going to get my money working for me. Hello, somebody. That sounds good, doesn't it? And then there's the final level, which I believe is where many people are called, that we are called to a wealth creation zone. It's in my spiritual DNA to create wealth. He says, I've given you the power to get wealth that I might establish my covenant with you. So there is no limit. There is no ceiling. The only ceiling is the ceiling that you put on it. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6, I'm going to read a lot of scripture. Are you ready to go there? Can I deal with one other issue here? I'm going to go 10 minutes over time today just to give you the download. Is that all right? So we will finish right on 12, little after. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6 says, obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees and pomegranates. I love pomegranates. Of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is as abundant as the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Turn to your neighbor and say, be careful. Beware that you, in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations and decrees that I'm giving you today. Hello, somebody. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold has multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at the time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from the slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and terrifying scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness and food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. Maybe the test you're going through right now is not the devil. Maybe the reason you spend so much time in the wilderness is because you keep rebuking the devil instead of changing your habits. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did it all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. He is the one who gives the ability to create wealth in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshipping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path. You also would be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God. The Bible tells us that we are kings and priests in God's kingdom. In Revelation chapter 1, 5 to 6, it says, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins and his own blood, has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, religion will communicate to you that in the kingdom of God, some people are priests and some people are kings. Because religion will always give you a comfortable option. Religion will always trim things down to the lowest common denominator instead of raising us up to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. But if you look at the scripture from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, you discover that God designed you to rule. He designed you to reign. He designed you with a kingly authority. King, the word king here in this scripture means leader, prince, commander, lord of the land. It's literally where we get our word landlord from. King. The word priest means one who suffers, sacrifices, and is devoted to Christ. I want to present to you today that the greatest value that comes into your life through your engagement with Christ and church is revelation. And that revelation is given to you to bring about an impartation. And that impartation is brought to you so there can be a transformation. And that transformation is supposed to lead you to a place of manifestation. See, the revelation is the spiritual deal. The impartation is the grace of God that's supposed to lead you to the place where your thinking will be transformed. Your life is transformed by God by changing the way you think. But he actually wants to bring you to a place where you experience the reality, which is the manifestation. Everyone in the kingdom of God is called to be a king and a priest. In many ways, tradition has emphasized the priestly role and disregarded the kingly role. The ultimate example of priest in scripture is Jesus, would you say? But if you have a look at the ultimate role model for a king in scripture, it's not Jesus. You see elements of Jesus operating as a king. Scriptures reveal Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. But to have a look at the ultimate example of a king in scripture, you've got to go and study the life of King David. In the book of Acts, it's declared that God is currently restoring the tabernacle of David. Okay, there's all that scriptural deep stuff over and done with for the gurus. Just to show you that I have studied my Bible along the way. Can I now simplify it down into premium mince chopped up so everyone can digest it? Is that okay? We're going to study the life of King David. He was anointed 3 times before he became king. Here's the thing you've got to know about the anointing of influence that God wants to place on your life. There's 3 levels. The anointing, like any other substance, needs to increase, and it can only increase as our capacity increases. You live your life on levels that you arrive at in stages. When we look at the life of King David, he was anointed first and foremost. The first time he got anointed was amongst his brethren in his house. On the day of his anointing service, if you like, he wasn't even present. Neither his father nor Samuel considered him to be anointed as king. He was out in the field working. He got called from the field to the meeting to be anointed. You know what happens today? Disciples are constantly in the meeting looking for the anointing. But you don't get called to the anointing from the meeting. You get called from the place where you're working, from the field to the meeting to be anointed. The first anointing was in his home amongst his brethren. It's an incredible revelation if you have a look at it. God always anoints you in your home amongst your brethren. If you receive the anointing outside of your brethren, it's not valid in Christ. Let me put it into a church context so that I can just talk to my staff and key leaders for a moment. Is that all right? 90% of people relax. The other 10% just went really stressed and tense. But what happens is we serve in the ministry and in the house and we're looking for the anointing and, gosh, it's not happening in a local church and they just don't have the right visiting ministry and the prophet to recognize me. So we run off to another meeting. Waiting, hoping for the prophet to show up and drop the anointing on me. But if you get that and it's not in the midst of your brethren, in the house that God designed for you. The first level the first test, the first level of the anointing, of influence, of kingly anointing, is amongst your brethren. It's faithfulness in the natural things. It's faithfulness in the natural things. He who is faithful with least, God will make ruler over that which is most. When King David was found, he was anointed first and foremost amongst his brothers. He was working in the field on the day of his anointing. He was being faithful with his father's sheep. He was so committed to his work, he wasn't considered by his father or Samuel at the time of his anointing. This represents the first level of the anointing upon our life, which is faithfulness in natural things. He was called from the field to the meeting. We need to understand today that salvation is free, but the anointing is costly. King David had already been anointed king when his father asked him to be a butler to his brothers. It's amazing how many disciples think they are too anointed to serve in hospitality. He's been anointed king. He's a teenager. He's had the oil poured over him. The priest of God has identified it in the culture of the day. He was the man for the future. And straight after that, he goes back to looking after his father's sheep. Then while he's looking after his father's sheep, while he's running his connect rope, hello somebody, while he's doing that thing that looks small, just working in the field, his father sends a message and said, hey, David, I want you to play butler for your brothers. I want you to go and take them some food and some cheese and give me a report back. And he doesn't just drop the sheep. He finds another shepherd to look after the sheep while he's away. And then he carts the food to his brothers. And while he's there, his brothers take shots at him. But he feeds them the meal. He works in hospitality. He's outside holding that dodgy sign out there that says, welcome home. It's glad to have you here in the car park. He's got the vest on. He's got the torch. He's pointing, hello. Yeah. He's sweeping the floor of the factory, making it perfectly clean. Nobody's watching, he thinks, but somebody is. He's doing the natural thing. And while he's there, he gets exposed to a national problem. Listen, it doesn't matter where you are today. God can set up your opportunity for your breakthrough if you'll just be faithful in the natural things. We all want to wait. We all want to jump to the third anointing. He was anointed then at Hebron, which is defined as the place of association. It represents faithfulness in relationship. We're not going to get there today, but you got to know this. Most people don't move from level one to level two because they can't handle the reality of relationship. Hebron, where David was first anointed, was down low in Jerusalem. The second place of anointing was in the highest mountain, Hebron. Hebron was notorious. It was dangerous to climb Hebron. You could not climb Hebron without hurting yourself. There was no way you were going to get to the top if you were soft. It represents the place of association. It represents relationship. Most people don't move from level one anointing to level two because they cannot handle the conflict of relationship. They cannot handle the challenges of relationship. They cannot handle the hurt of relationship. They'd rather spit off their grievances about the boss in the lunchroom with the rest of the workers rather than upholding the integrity of the organization and saying, no, he's a good boss. He's got to make the tough decisions. Otherwise, we're not going to have a job in the future. But can we go back to the first level? Because if you can be faithful at the first level, God will set you up for the second level. And so it's there at that place that David finds out that there's an opportunity at hand. Let's go to Proverbs 22 and verse 29 from the Message paraphrase just to get started. Observe people who are good at their work. Skilled workers are always in demand and admired. They don't take a back seat to anyone. Oh my goodness me. Skilled workers. Listen, you need to know this. Your job, your career is God's primary supply chain or channel for you. Don't neglect your work. Gosh, that's good preaching. Skilled workers are always in demand and admired. Proverbs 14, verse 4. I love this verse. Without oxen, a stable stays clean. but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. Is there anyone here that's worked with horses and animals before and had to clean out the stables? Let me see the people who've had to clean out the stables. You know, the only time cleaning out stables is enjoyable is in winter, because at least it takes the coldness out of your fingers when you pick it up. Yeah, that's why most people don't want to clean stables. They'd rather have a clean stable. But the scripture says here, you need a strong ox for a large harvest. You know what it means? Big doo-doos. Strong oxes, big doo-doos. If you'll be faithful with the turds, God will get you to the place where you own the herds. The reason you don't own the herds is because you don't want to pick up the turds. I'm sorry. Here's the reality. We don't want to sweep the floor. We don't want to do an apprenticeship. We score the job because I got my degree. I just preached this message in the previous service, got down off the platform, walked up to a guy, he says, "Pastor, thank you, that was so good." He's been working in the aviation industry for 37 years. Been with the company that he's with now for 27 years. They're about to send him on 5 months of training for the new aircraft that's coming in. They've chosen him because he's constantly heard saying, "I love this company. They'll have to wheel me out of here." Been in the industry for 37 years. About to do 5 months. I said to him, "Can you just clarify for me? Did you say 5 months straight?" Yeah, 5 months straight training. Why have they chosen him? Loyal, faithful in the little things. Hello, somebody. You know what? While you want to keep carrying your Aussie spirit of taking the mickey, I nearly said the other word then, out of your boss, taking shots at the company, you're going to stay on level one influence. You're never going to progress to level two. King David, he's a teenager. Oh, flip, I love this part. He's there. And he asks the question. You know what? You're going to learn to ask questions. You've got to learn to ask good questions. He says, what will you get if you take off his head? And it's amazing. There was 3 things that you got if you could slay Goliath. Number one, the king was going to bestow upon you great riches. Personally, you're going to become wealthy overnight. If it doesn't stop there, number two, you get to marry his daughter. Hang on. You get the gold and you get the girl. But the third benefit, see, you've got to stop thinking like a slave. You've got to start thinking about the king that you are. What's in it for me in the kingdom? The ultimate battle over our Bible is who owns the earth? Who owns the land? Who owns the territory? I'm here to declare to you, it's not the devil and it's not the devil's kids. My Bible says the righteous shall inherit the earth. But there's a difference. There's a difference between being called and being anointed. To be anointed means you've got an unction to function at that level. And so the third level was like very attractive. The third benefit, if you took off Goliath's head, was that your entire family would become tax exempt. I don't know about you, but that's pretty attractive. Hello. Could you imagine that? And see, you got to know, when the anointing gets on your life, it takes you to a place of supernatural wealth transfer. But you got to be faithful first and foremost in the little things. I just got to say it one more time because I like it. Be faithful with the turds and you'll soon own the herds. He was faithful with his father's sheep. He was faithful killing the lion and the bear. And he trained his shepherd to look after his father's sheep while he was away. He was exposed to a national problem. You know what? You get paid for solving people's problems, not being the problem. Like too many of us, our problems at our place of employment instead of solutions. Here's a key. Here's a qualification that you've got the kingly anointing first level upon your life is you go to work and solve problems. You don't create problems. He was guarding his father's sheep. You know what? Looking after your connect group and looking after those sheep could be the door that opens your next greatest opportunity. As the anointed king, David did not consider looking after sheep and doing the lunch run as tasks lower than his pay grade. The next place of anointing was at Hebron. It's the seat of association. Hebron was the highest mountain. It was both difficult and dangerous to climb. You get hurt climbing that mountain. Level two is a place called faithful in relationship. Most workers don't progress in their career or calling because they are unable to handle the pain of relationships. If you can handle the hurt, you will qualify for the next promotion. Every anointing can be increased and there needs to be to meet the demands of greater capacity. There is a test to every new level of capacity. There is a huge difference between your calling and your anointing. You need an anointing to function as king, not just a calling. It was during the 13 or 15 years after the first anointing that David endured the harsh treatment of Saul and formed the unique relationship with Jonathan. Actually, if you study that whole deal out, it's a crazy manifestation of the favor of God. Jonathan was next in line to the throne. He becomes David's best friend and armor bearer. And David's been anointed king. If you look at the relationships, it's mind-blowing. And I never use that term lightly. Jonathan is in line to be king, but he's not going to be. David has been anointed king, but he's a king in waiting. Jonathan's father is now trying to kill David because of his insecurities. Saul represents the flesh. On the day that Saul is killed, which represents flesh, David is anointed king over Israel. The day your flesh dies, there's an anointing that comes upon your life that appoints you to your kingly position. First level is all today is about. Faithful in the natural things. You think it's not important to keep that workshop floor clean. But while you're keeping that workshop floor clean, your boss is watching because he's looking for someone that can keep this team in order. And all of a sudden you go from TA to leading hand and people say, how did you get that role? You're not even qualified. Because it's not necessarily about your IQ. It's a whole lot about your EQ. When you walk into your boss's office, do you have a positive effect on his emotions or negative? Do you know how to lead up? Over the next few weeks, I've made a commitment. I'm going to download insights and principles that will take you to your next level of influence, anointing, kingly anointing. Because I believe we're about to put pressure on the pressure that's coming against us. And we're going to see some of the best outstanding breakthroughs we've ever seen. Would you go ahead and give the Lord a hand? Can I say this? If you commit to church over the next 6 weeks, if you miss out because you fly in, fly out, or you kind of live somewhere else, go somewhere else, I apologize. But because I know what God has put in our hearts to download, I know that if you receive the word and apply it in your life, like this week ahead, just apply that one thing that God spoke to you about during the message, and it will take you to a new level of transformation. But can I say this? You're not going to go from prison to paradise in the next 6 weeks. You're not going to turn your complete financial world around in 6 weeks. But you can in the next 6 months. listen, I'm a farmer. The only thing you can produce in 6 weeks is salad. I put a lettuce seed in the ground today, 6 weeks, fully grown lettuce. I don't know about you, but I'm more into like avocados, mangoes, free-range beef. Hey, it takes a little longer to develop. The Lord wants to take you in a land flowing with milk and honey. But you can't have a slave mentality and think, I want it overnight. Hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Good planning, hard work lead to success. I'm making a commitment to you as your pastor to download that stuff over the next 6 weeks, because I believe God wants to take you into a place of harvest mentality. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of the podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au or call us on 9524 5055.